Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Yeah, take a seat. Good morning.
Good morning.
On another beautiful day.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, going to get into this morning. I want to speak today about truly free. Truly free. Or as some translations would say, free indeed. Truly free. And I just want to go through this today and unpack the whole idea of freedom. The whole idea of freedom in our faith. Freedom in Jesus. Freedom through Christ. And the God who is the God of freedom. And we're going to start with our key scripture for today. From the book of John. The book of John being written by John. And John being one of the disciples of Jesus, and the book of John, or the Gospel of John, being the book of the Bible, which is John's account of his time with Jesus and what happened. We obviously have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who all give their own encounter, their own story of what happened while they were with Jesus. Some of the things are mentioned that are the same, some things are different. Some of the disciples highlight different bits. But this is John's account of something that happened with Jesus. And to put it into context, Jesus is having a discussion with some of the Jewish people of that time. He's having this conversation with them, and the whole conversation is based around Abraham. And he's having this conversation backwards and forwards with them. And we're going to start in John chapter 8, starting verse 31 through to verse 36. And it says this: Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "But we are descendants of Abraham," they said. "We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean we will be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permitted member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." So in this conversation, the Jewish people at the time, who are God's chosen people, were coming at Jesus to say, "What are you talking about? But we're not free. How can you say we're not free? We are children of Abraham. We're free. We've never been slaves to anybody." But they claimed political freedom, but they were in reality subjects to Rome at that time. They claimed religious freedom, but they were in reality slaves to their own customs and ways. And they claimed moral freedom, but as Jesus pointed out as well, that they were in reality slaves to their own sin, as we all fall into that trap at certain points. And the freedom which the Son, Jesus, is proclaiming is in reality freedom. It was a freedom that the true life of God can bring. It was a freedom that at that time wasn't understood. It was a freedom that was, well, we are free because this is what we do. Whereas Jesus said, "Well, actually, no, you're not free because you're still doing this, so you are not." Yes, in your mind, you might be free, and in some ways you are free, but you are not truly free. And we're going to unpack that and look, there's a difference between being free and being truly free. Being free and being free indeed. The freedom which the Son proclaimed was a literal freedom. It was the freedom of the true life delivered from sin and brought into union with God. That is true freedom, a life from sin and in union with God, made possible through Jesus. Hence, in if the Son sets you free, Jesus, the Son, sets you free, you are free indeed. And to understand this concept of free or free indeed, I'm going to unpack a little bit. I'm not going to actually turn there, but in Exodus 14, it gives us the account of the nation of Israel coming out of captivity in Egypt, the story of Moses, not the Hollywood version of Moses, but the actual biblical version of Moses, where the plagues have come, and eventually Moses has led Israel out of Egypt into freedom from Egypt, and eventually they get to a certain point where they come to the Red Sea and they can't cross. Now, by this time, Pharaoh has changed his mind. One minute Pharaoh says, go, get out of here. The next minute he has time to think on it and decides, you know what, I'm not going to let them go. So Pharaoh and his hordes pursue the nation of Israel and Moses. So at this point, yes, they are free. They've been released, but they are not free indeed until they are on the other side of the Red Sea and free from the influence of Pharaoh altogether. Because they're free, but eventually they had to look back over their shoulder. Okay, we're free, whippy. You know, Miriam didn't bang the tambourine until they're on the other side of the sea. The symbol of that freedom comes on the other side. Once they are truly free, there was an element of looking back over shoulder. They're even proclaiming to Moses, why have you brought us here? You know, we're just going to die here now, as soon as they're being pursued by Pharaoh and his armies. Because there's a freedom that's come, yes, released. They've been geographically free from one place to the other, but there's not a true freedom that has come at that point. Once they have crossed the sea, once God has parted the sea, they cross through. Some of the armies of Egypt are washed under the sea, and the nation of Israel is truly free on the other side in that situation. Or to put it more like this in modern day terms, a convict who is imprisoned for whatever reason, who manages to break prison and escape. Now, some people say he's free from prison. He's got out of his cell, he's free, he's on the street, he's walking, but he's not free indeed. He's just transferred the prison cell to a prison which he now carries around with him, watching over his shoulder, when am I going to be caught, being shot at as soon as somebody does find out where he is, looking over and thinking. So it's not that, yes, the physical prison, the physical freedom has come. They're not confined to those four walls or six, because it would be a cube. Do you get that? You know what I mean? Yeah. We say four walls, but there's a roof and a floor as well, so it's six really, isn't it? Because if you're going to escape, you could go through the floor. You've seen Great Escape. You know what I mean? But they're not truly free. They've just transferred a prison cell to a prison mindset. They're still captive to something. They're still looking over shoulder, thinking, okay, is this what freedom's like? Because I don't feel very free at the moment. I'm kind of looking over my shoulder. I'm trying to check what's going on. When am I going to get caught? What's going to happen? So it's almost sometimes you almost feel as though people think, I'd rather go back in the cell. Because at least there I kind of knew what I was dealing with. I know this is where I was. This is where I stayed. And yes, I didn't have freedom. But at the moment, I don't have freedom because I'm walking around and I am entrapped to my own thinking and my own way of thinking and the possibilities of what might happen to me whilst I'm walking around. When am I going to be caught? So it's, yes, there's a level of freedom from a particular place, but not a level of freedom which is free indeed. Why then do we as Jesus followers live as though we're still caught up in bondage of sin and all those kinds of things? If the Son has set us free, then we are truly free. Why do we not demonstrate that in our lives on a day-to-day setting? And I speak about myself in that because I can honestly say that there's certain points where I think I don't feel very free at the moment. I can't stop thinking about this problem. I can't get this thing out of my head. I'm anxious about this, I'm worried about that. And all those things come in, and when I stop and think about it, I think, well, Jesus has said, if the Son sets me free, then I'm free indeed. But at this moment in time, I don't feel very free from this particular situation, this circumstance, the thing that is coming in at me. So why do we allow those things to happen? And, you know, for one thing is that we rebel against our Master, we rebel against God, we go against Jesus, refusing to obey him and clinging to our old lives. So we have this big triumphant coming to a place of knowing God, coming to salvation, and depending on how that happened, is all going to be, you know, some people have got a big story about on this day in 1963, I was in a little chapel and God God came to me and I gave my life to Jesus. And from that day on, I've never looked back. Some people are kind of, if you're like me, it's kind of like, I can't really remember. It was just kind of this process that happened. I was like going to church, meeting with people, talking to people. And before I knew it, I was going to church every week. I wasn't on Alpha course. I was learning about God even more and doing these things. And eventually it was like, yeah, I suppose this is it now. I can remember saying to one of my friends in a nightclub, just saying, I'm thinking of becoming a Christian. It was like, what a place to do it. It's quite funny, like music blaring out and stuff. It's like, almost like I was having to confess something. Like, I've got something I need to tell you. I'm thinking of becoming a Christian. And it was like, oh, whatever, mate. Yeah. I think it was a response, actually. Then I told somebody else, and he was more concerned because we were booked to go to the Leeds Festival a few weeks before. He's like, you're still coming to the Leeds Festival, though, aren't you? It was like, oh, yeah, I'll be coming there. But I kind of like made this decision to start making this choice. And so it's different for everybody. And for some people, it's helpful to have that day of saying, this is the point where I got free from this. This is the point where this happened. Whereas for others, that's just not there. Some people have these amazing big things where there's flashing lights and a really supernatural encounter with God, which brings that. But we sometimes cling to that old life, the life that we had before that. We sometimes cling to it, and there's certain things within that which we don't let go. And yes, Jesus is saying, if the sun sets you free, you're free indeed. And that freedom is a possibility that's there for each and every single person that chooses to follow him. But we've also got to choose to step away from those things which try to hold us. We hold on to the sins that once bound us to the devil's ways. And because our human nature still likes that and is still drawn to that sin and in some way still finds pleasure in that. And the Apostle Paul, who writes so much, the Apostle Paul, the spearhead of the early church, wrote a good chunk of the New Testament, really helped birth the church in the first century church. Sometimes I've even heard people call him like an apostle of freedom, because he spoke so much about freedom. And in his letters to the different churches and the books that he wrote, is so much about freedom. He speaks about freedom, and his life transformation, he did have one of those transformations. So he did come from being somebody that was persecuting the believers of Jesus. His job was to round them up and kill them. So all of a sudden, having a supernatural encounter with God where Jesus supernaturally appears to him, transforms his life, asks him, why are you doing this? And then commissions him to go and do the job for him, essentially, to stop killing believers and actually start to become someone who goes proclaiming the freedom. So if anybody can speak about freedom, it's him, because he had to deal with all the stuff he'd done in the past. How do you go preaching a church about the freedom and love of Jesus, knowing that you've single-handedly been responsible for the death of Jesus' followers? You have to know the freedom that comes truly from Jesus to be able to go and do what Paul did, what the Apostle Paul did. And I think sometimes we forget that. We forget, what must Paul have had to go through? What kind of experience of freedom did he go through? What journey of freedom did he go through to be in a place where he could write to churches, speak in churches, become a figurehead for the first century church, knowing that he had innocent blood on his hands in his past? Knowing that it took a long time. You know, the first guy, God appeared to someone who said, you need to go and see Paul because he's expecting you. And he's like, you're kidding me, right? You know what this guy's doing? He wants to kill these people. He wants to kill us. He's like, you've got to trust me. So there was a bit of suspicion, I can imagine, for a while. Is he just a double agent? Is he just trying to infiltrate into this situation? Is he just trying to round us up even more, trying to get on the inside? Thankfully, no. He wasn't, because he went through this journey of freedom. Paul knew what it was to speak of freedom. And in the book of Ephesians, where he's writing to the church in Ephesus, he's telling the guys in Ephesus, he says, put off the old self with its deceit and corruption, and put on the new self with its righteousness. Put off the old self and put on the new self. Put off lying and put on faithfulness. Put off stealing and put on usefulness and work. Put off bitterness, rage and anger, and put on kindness, compassion and forgiveness. And as we do that, we have to make that choice, because when Paul says put off the old and put on the new, There's something that we have to do with that. And I think sometimes we slip into this thing of, yes, the work of God is supernatural. Yes, the work of God can only be done through his power. Freedom can only come through the freedom that is through Christ. But something that requires an action from us as well. We have to do something about that first. There's lots and lots of statements in the Bible where it says, if, da-da-da-da-da, then, da-da-da-da-da. If, then God. If my people will pray, then. If you, you know, and so on and so on. But there's so many points where there's an if of, if I do this, God does this. If I draw near to God, God draws near to me. And if I put on the old self, if I put on the old self in place of the new self, then that's what I'm going to get. But if I put on the new self and take off the old and step into the new that is available through this truly free, free indeed kind of freedom, then I start to see those chains that were holding me to the past things that caused me to damage my life, damage other people, think things I shouldn't think, do things I shouldn't do, disobey God, go fully against what he says. Those things are taken off. But we often want to put the chains back on because we do love the stuff so much. We find it difficult to get free from those things. And it's almost like a partial thing. Okay, God, well, I will follow you and I will become one of your followers, but I still kind of like doing this. And, you know, I can be honest, for me, it was more of a journey. I didn't just have a day where it was like, boom, and lights are flashing and there's kind of like all this stuff going on. For me, it was a journey. I've known some people, it was just like, right, they experience Jesus a little bit like I've said with the Apostle Paul, and they go home and it's like, okay, well, I don't want to watch that anymore, so they're going. I don't want to listen to that anymore, so those CDs are going. I can't really wear those clothes anymore because I just either have something on that doesn't portray something of God or they're just not right, and everything's a big turnover and it's gone and it's done and it's over. Now, for me, it was a bit more of a process and a journey. It was kind of like it happened slowly, steadily coming in. As I grew more in my life with Jesus, less of the stuff that I did like started to go. More of it started to go, sorry. More stuff was going away. There became more Jesus and less of those things. It was like, actually, I don't even like this anymore. Certain films that just had so much bad language in them that was just like, whoa, this is just an assault on my ears. How did I ever sit and watch this? I was so desensitized to the holiness and nature of God that it didn't bother me. Music that I used to listen to, I can confess, I used to be a massive Eminem fan. I loved Eminem music. I loved him. I thought it was great. It was like one of my heroes in my teen years. I used to dress like him. I bleached my hair like him. I kind of had the posters on my walls, went to see him a couple of times, knew all the raps off by heart, swearing and all. So I'd be like sat there like thinking I was kind of like this little rap guy. But as time went on, as I grew in my relationship with God, I just started to dislike. And it was a shame because the actual music, I kind of liked the music, but the content of the music was just like, I can't listen to this anymore. I'm actually trying to live a new way. I'm trying to live free from all those things. But when I listen to these things or I watch these things, it's causing me to speak like that, act like that, a little bit more angry. If I'm constantly listening to music where the guy's swearing all the time, it makes it a bit difficult to not swear in a conversation. And, you know, I can't really picture it so much. Praise God, my mind doesn't remember so much. But I'm not sure how much I used to swear in those days. But one of the first things that when I started to follow Jesus and started to walk in that freedom, one of the first things that people used to point out at my work was, you don't swear anymore. You don't swear. You don't even just throw the odd word in here and there. Why do you not do that? And it was like, I couldn't even explain it at that time. I was so young in my faith and so young. It's like, I don't know. I just don't have an appetite for that kind of thing anymore. It just doesn't happen anymore. And I could recognize that the certain things were causing me to be a certain way. And so if I wanted to be free, I had to take those chains off. And they weren't necessarily a chain that had me shackled in a bad way, but there were certain things that weren't helping me to live a life of freedom in God, because true freedom comes from an obedience to God. True freedom comes from living the life that he calls me to live. But if I'm doing stuff that counters that, I'm just making my job really difficult. It's basically I'm trying to swim in a pool with no water. I'm draining more and more water out of that pool, and I'm trying to swim and I'm trying to do something, but the more I do this, I'm damaging myself.
But sometimes we love the stuff so much, we find it difficult to let it go. And I've known people who I've walked with, worked with, walked through stuff with, who it's just been that similar to myself. It's been a process and a journey, and eventually getting to that place like, okay, I'm ready to give this up now. I need to get rid of this stuff. I need to stop listening to this, watching this, reading this, acting this way. Even sometimes seeing these people, and we love people, God loves people, but for myself on that journey in my faith, there was a certain point where I just had to distance myself from a certain crowd and a certain way of life for a certain time, because I knew that where I was going and what life I wanted to live, keep putting myself back in the middle of that situation just wasn't helpful, and it almost started to feel very unnatural, and time went on, I just didn't enjoy it anymore either. It was like, oh, this is crazy, you guys swear so much. You guys do this, and like, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to hear those jokes. I don't want to do that. But eventually you get to the point where you are able to go into that place. But I know that for me, it was just had to be this shift. That if I'm going to get free from my past, I'm not going to get free from my past right when I'm sat right in the pub where I've been going for the last 6-7 years. And the expectation that was on me to be a certain way. And when I wasn't that way, it just got really annoying with the whole, what's the matter with you? What you've been saying? You know, why won't you sing on the karaoke anymore? Why don't you, you know, do you want this to drink? It's like, no, I'm fine. You know, I've had enough. What's the matter with you? It's like, and, you know, you can't explain that. Eventually, people got the picture, understood that. And I met Sam in that process as well. So bless her. She kind of, we were able to go on that journey together and just recognize this is just not good. We don't even enjoy this anymore. Let's do something better. Let's go out for a meal or something. But as we gradually that love for the old life goes, and the thing is with those things, it doesn't happen easily. And realizing that one victory does not mean that the battle's over. One victory doesn't mean it's over. Freedom must be maintained. So we can battle with something that we've struggled with, something from our past, something that's got a hold of us, something that we can't get free from, whether that's some kind of addiction, whatever that addiction might be, drugs, alcohol, pornography, approval addiction, even all approval, just wanting approval of people all the time. Joyce Meyer's got a book called Approval Addiction, and it's all about getting free from needing other people's confirmation of your life. And as we try to get free from them, yes, there's going to be a victory point where we battle through and we get free, but that doesn't mean it's over. There's a maintaining that needs to happen. There's a maintaining that needs to happen. Freedom must be maintained. And freedom continues to be yours as long as you're choosing the truth. As Jesus says, the truth that sets you free. And you stand firm in the strength of God. Truth that sets you free. If you are choosing the truth and you're standing firm in God, then you're able to keep moving forward and freedom continues to be yours. Again, the Apostle Paul, we've looked at him already. He said this, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Examine yourselves. And I like to put, you know, just test yourself daily. Every single day, checking out, God, where am I today? God, am I slipping a little bit? God, am I drifting a little bit? God, is my faith what it was? In fact, has my faith grown? Has my faith diminished? Have I let myself slip into bondage and come out of freedom into something? Have I let something slip? Have I picked up on something? Has somebody said something to me which caused me to nudge back a little bit? Have I seen something on TV that's caused me to just slip a little bit? Have I being on internet and something's flashed up that I didn't want to see and it's put me back a little bit. God, am I in the place where I need to be today? Because we need to check ourselves daily. Daily. One day without just checking out with God, God, am I okay today? Because he's the only person you need to ask if you're okay. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. God, am I okay today? God, what about this? And as we pray and we go and we have that spiritual checkup, you know, sometimes you have a checkup at the doctors, don't you? You can have a well-man check or all these things that you can go to the doctors and just check that you're okay. Mm-hmm. Just check me over. Am I all right? And, sometimes it's best not to because they just pick up on everything. But, it's a good thing to be checked. You know, am I okay? Am I healthy? Am I doing well? But spiritually, it's even more important. then our health, our physical health, is tied to our body, which just goes into the ground or the furnace when we die. Our spiritual check is tied to our soul, which is what continues on. And our soul's either going to be with God or not be with God and be with the devil in hell when we die. And as we walk in that, are we checking ourselves spiritually? I'm not going to get into a whole discussion of are you always saved once you make a decision. You know, that's your choice. My point would be, just don't take any risks. You know, it's not really a question, is it really? You know, once you've given your life to Jesus, are you always saved? Possibly yes, possibly no, but I'm not going to risk it just in case. And, you know, sometimes I think we just don't get the answers on things because it's just good to not know the answer. It's good to just kind of think, you know what, I don't know the answer, so I'm just going to urge on the side of caution with regards to that. But to have a spiritual check to make sure that I am free from those things, free from what needs to happen, free from what I'm doing, and doing the basics. Doing the basics. You know, the list I'm gonna close with today is it's a basic list. You would look at it and think that's the kind of thing that you'd have in an introduction course to Christianity. That's the kind of thing that you'd expect to be hearing when you've just stepped into church and you've stepped into a life of following Jesus. And these are the basic, essential things. But so often we don't stick to them. So often there's certain elements of these things that we just don't do for whatever reason, lack of concentration, lack of discipline, something else taking precedent, time not being there, and all those things. But for some reason, we allow the basics to slip through. At certain points, it's always great when somebody comes and says that they've been praying or they're reading the Bible every day. And you think, great, because if you're doing that, you're going to be okay, regardless of what you're doing. And the best teams and the best individuals aren't necessarily the ones with the most flair. The ones that do the basics over and over again. If you get the basics right, it's great. It's no good having a player with some great flair that can't do the basics. You need people that can grind out the basics constantly, whether that's an individual sports person, a specific team. And Craig Groeschel, who's the pastor of Life Church in the States, it's the largest church in America. I think it's about just over 70,000 people who are tied to Life Church at their different plants across the country. And he says this: successful people do consistently what normal people do occasionally. Successful people do consistently what normal people do occasionally. I said to be successful, it's about doing those things over and over again. I'd rather be really good at the basics and not have the flair than have a bit of flair, but know that the foundation, the basics are just not there to cover it. So maintaining freedom, freedom that comes from Jesus, true freedom, free indeed. To maintain your freedom, I've got some stuff that I'd suggest here that we follow and that we do. To maintain your freedom, be involved in a great church where you can be open and honest with others and God's truth is taught with grace. So Elohim Christian Church is the place to be. But with regards to a place where you can be open and honest, you've got to have somebody that you can speak to. You know, there's the leadership here. There's Pastor Lynn who heads up the pastoral care here. There's an ability to speak to people, but even just those friendship things. Not necessarily, you know, I think sometimes we think we need to go and speak to that person up there. And sometimes it's great to go and speak to one of the leaders because that's just what's needed, that little bit of extra weight. But to have people that just cross with each other. The most amazing times, and I speak about this all the time because I know it's so true, the most amazing conversations I've had with regards to freedom or people coming to a place of freedom or getting out of situations that they were struggling with haven't been when people have come and sat in my office and spoken to me about a specific purpose. It's generally been in car journeys, sat having a coffee, in a situation where we're just literally going about everyday life and things just come up. Things just happen because what I've found is when people are specifically going to talk about something, they kind of clam up and we get defensive and get all kind of, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Whereas if people are just enjoying life together, the stuff just happens. things just come out, discussions happen, speech happens, and it's, you know, it's a social work tool with children that they want to get to speak. They don't sit a child down and say, right, tell us about this, because you know it's never going to happen. I'm not telling you anything. But whilst doing a bit of Play-Doh or playing pool or building Lego and you're just having this conversation, this stuff just starts to flow. People are relaxed, things are happening, people are talking, and the right questions are answered. And I found when I was doing youth work, it was always those times with the young people that I worked with. It was over a pool table or a table football or sat at a table having a drink where all of a sudden you'd be in these conversations and you'd be like, whoa, where did that come from? There's no way if I'd have sat you down and said, speak to me about the problems you've got at home, you'd have done that. But because we're relaxed and we're going about this. So looking at that, that's number one, that being a great church, yet you're already here, so you've got that one ticked. But make sure there's people that you can speak to. Don't isolate yourself, because that journey of freedom isn't something that we're meant to do alone. It's supposed to be something that we do together. Read and meditate on the Bible daily. And memorize key verses. Again, I know I've mentioned this before, but knowing key verses and having them committed to memory is just really helpful with regards to the journey of freedom and maintaining that freedom to know that you can just counter something, that something just comes to you. Something comes to attack, a thought, a situation, and you're able to just say, you know what? My Bible says this. And Jesus set a great example of that during his temptation in the wilderness. Every attack of the devil was countered with some scripture. So if he had to do it, then we need to do it. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. But there's nothing better than when something happens and you're able to just quote a scripture. You know, this last week was certain something with regards to ourselves that had happened, and Sam was just able to say, you know what, let's just declare the scripture that those who love God do not fear bad news. And it's like, yeah, of course. We don't fear bad news, and just able to keep speaking that. So it's not just about reading it. It's not a tick box thing. It's not just about, okay, yeah, read that. I've done my Bible reading for today. Let it be something that is working in you, and let things commit to memory. You know, memory verses, just remembering stuff. I don't necessarily remember stuff very well, but I know if I've read it and I go over it, there's certain things that's going on. I'm sure it says it somewhere. I'm sure it's in the Bible somewhere. It's good checking it before you start declaring it. I know Jeff Lucas was joking about how when he'd not been a believer very long, someone had spoken the scripture over him, let your conscience be your guide. And he'd been like flicking through the Bible, trying to find, where is this scripture that this person's spoken over me? And it's from Pinocchio. It's actually the advice to Pinocchio, and you know, letting your conscience be your guide is a terrible advice as well. Let God be your guide. If I followed my conscience, I'd be in a real state. But this is these things. So make sure what you're getting is actually scripture. Don't start declaring things. But, you know, I'm sure I've heard it somewhere that you have people come and say, I just got a word for you. I feel that God wants to say this. And I know it's in the Bible somewhere, but I'm not sure where. But just check it, okay? Even if it's me, okay? Just check that it's there. Because it could have been, you know, it could be a quote from Lord of the Rings or anything that just sounds biblical. So therefore, it must be in the Bible. Learn to take every thought captive. And there's two sides to this. There's a point where we think something and we think, I shouldn't be thinking this. I shouldn't be thinking about this about myself. I shouldn't be thinking this about that person. I shouldn't be thinking this about God. I shouldn't be thinking this about this situation. So that's one side of taking thoughts captive. Like, I'm not going to think this way. The other side to taking thoughts captive is when there is so many thoughts. And there's so many things going on, and you just got all this going on out here. And it's not one particular thought you need to take captive, but it's about reining every single one of those thoughts in and taking them all captive. And I use that action because it sometimes feels like everything's out here, doesn't it? And it's about gathering them in and taking them captive so that you can get clarity about moving forward into something. You know, this is something that happens with me regularly, where all of a sudden there's just stuff everywhere. And, you know, anybody that I've said before in my office, I have my whiteboard. And it's been recently the amount of people who've come in and said, I'm not used to seeing that clear with nothing on it. But I've not needed to use my whiteboard so much, which is sometimes a good sign. Sometimes it depends. But sometimes my whiteboard is an image of all these things that are knocking around. I need to take them captive and bring them in. It's almost that phrase of, you know, there's too much on your plate. Which for me, that analogy just doesn't work. It's like, too much on your plate? Is there ever too much on your plate? Yeah, it just doesn't work for me. It's like, you know, you just got a little bit too much on your plate. It's like, no, it's, that's just, you know, wrong analogy for me, personally. There's never too much on a plate. If you're going to put it in front of me, I will attempt it. Okay, there's never too much on a plate. Too little, absolutely. You know, too little on a plate. It's kind of like, what? That's a bit disappointing. I feel like I don't do small portions. It's kind of like, you know, this is, you know, especially if I go out and you kind of, you have this thing happen, don't you, where you've spent ages choosing from the menu what you're going to have and you're dead set on your decision. And then you've placed your order, you know it's gone to the kitchen, but then the table next year's order comes out and you see how much they've got and you think, I just know that what I've ordered isn't going to be as good as the fish and chips that they've got. And you kind of want to go and swap. You're like, look, I've ordered this, but would you mind swapping? And, you know, it's just, but that whole thing of having too much on your plate, and for some people that analogy probably does work, but all these things floating around, we've got to take them all captive, the bad thoughts, the negative thoughts, but also the when we have too much going on. It's just about reining them all in and taking them captive. Next one, don't drift back to old patterns of thinking, feeling, and acting. And I've already touched on this before about when I was just like on that journey of faith and I just had to have a little bit of a shift from the lifestyle that I was living. It was like, I can't progress on this while still being there. I just have to kind of get free from that for a little bit so I can find, how does this really look? And, you know, there's that whole pattern of thinking and doing things. You know, if it's certain patterns, it's about changing a certain way. I heard, the story about a guy who kind of, it said, every time, you know, I really want to get free from my addiction of pornography, but every time I walk past the shop, I can't help but go in. It's like, walk down another street. It's like, it's not rocket science. Walk down another street. Go one block over and walk down that street instead. Yes, it might put an extra 5 minutes onto your journey, but at least you're not going to be tempted to go in. It's a saying that every time I walk past a pub, I can't help but go in. Don't walk past a pub. But there's certain patterns and things in our life that we have to change to accommodate that freedom, because I think sometimes we expect that it's a one-time thing, right, I'm free, but we forget about the maintaining that freedom. For me personally, I can be honest, because of stuff in my past, I don't want to be left on my own at home on a night with my phone. Because I just don't want the temptation of the internet so easily readily available. So certain patterns, it's like, okay, I'm going to stay down and watch this. Sam, when you go to bed, you take my phone up with you and just put it next to my bed and leave it there, because I don't want it with me. Because I don't want old patterns from before I knew Jesus or whenever to be something that I'm possibly could fall back into. And it only needs one moment of weakness. One moment of weakness and you are hooked back onto something. One moment of walking past somewhere which you could have avoided. One moment of having your phone in your hand when you're a bit tired and you look at something that you shouldn't look at. One moment of walking past the bookies when you could have avoided it. All these different things. You think, well, just the once is not going to harm. But to be free indeed, it's about, yes, winning that battle initially, and that is the hard point, but then maintaining that and to break thinking, feeling, and acting. And the actions, there I say, inform the feelings and the thinking most of the time, because if I avoid those things, then I'm just not even thinking about it. The whole out of sight, out of mind kind of situation, you know, you kind of say that for kids, don't you? You kind of put the stuff out of sight, poison chemicals and stuff like that, but you know, the stuff that sometimes ensnares us is no different. The poisonous chemicals we need to avoid, you know, some of these things are like cyanide in our lives and to our spirit and to our soul. We need to stay free from those things. So don't drift back into patterns of thinking, feeling, and acting. But to do that, it's not about saying, I really try really hard not to do it. I need to try really hard. Be proactive in shifting and changing something so that that isn't a possibility anymore. Don't expect other people to fight your battles for you. They can help, but they can't think, pray, read the Bible, or choose for you. Now, again, what I've tended to find in this situation is The reason why people want you to fight their battles for them and want you to do that for them is a lack of courage to actually take something on for themselves, so that then they can come and say, well, that didn't work, did it? You've obviously not done that very well. Not taking responsibility for our own lives. And so we don't take responsibility ourselves. So therefore, when it does go wrong, we've got somebody we can blame. We can find that person and say, well, you said to do this, or you did this, and now this hasn't worked. Which is why, you know, you've got to be very careful when you're giving advice to somebody. Let's say, well, go and do this. Well, that didn't work. Oh, I'm really sorry. Well, perhaps you should try your own ideas. You know, it's kind of like... but, you know, people can't think, pray, read the Bible, or choose for you. And if that's the kind of thing that you want to happen, then you're just avoiding the problem. You're just avoiding the situation, and you're not really free. Because you need to be able to free to make those choices as well. Commit yourselves to daily prayer. Prayer demonstrates a life of trusting in and depending on God. If I don't pray, then basically what I'm communicating is, I don't need God. God, I don't need you. It's almost like if I don't speak to Sam, I'm just communicating, I don't need you. My life's perfectly fine without you. If I don't speak to my children, I'm communicating that I don't need you. You're not even useful enough for me to speak to. So therefore, I'm not going to bother, because it's just an inconvenience. Whereas with God, if I'm not praying with God, I'm just communicating. God, I don't need you. I don't need to communicate. I don't need to speak. You know, I've got this. I can do this on my own. But we need to commit to praying daily, however that looks for you, however that works for you, that lifestyle. And again, it's got to be more than just something of, okay, tick that box now. It's got to be a heartfelt thing of saying, okay, God, let's get honest now. Let's get real about this. And that can be done in any ways. I'm praying all the time. It's kind of like an ongoing dialogue with God. It's kind of like you're just in the car, you're walking, you're in your office, you're, you know, not necessarily I'm speaking to somebody else, but that's sometimes the case. Like, God, help me. Help me communicate well. Praying to him now whilst I'm doing this. It's like, God. But we've got to be in that constant place of recognise. There's six things to maintain freedom. Because recognising that, yes, there's a freedom and a battle that we can get from. Yes, we can move past things, but it's got to be maintained. And that's got to be something that we're constantly doing. We're checking ourselves, examining our faith, putting off the old, putting on the new, making sure that we're not slipping into a pattern of putting the old back on, but continuing to stay in that new creation, being transformed all the time. Because if the sun sets you free, you are truly free. And it's a freedom that isn't like a freedom of, okay, well, I'm kind of free, but I'm still looking at that. Because that's not free. Well, that's just freedom. It's not free indeed. It's a freedom that says, okay, I am free from these situations. I am free from this. Because Jesus has set me free in his love. Through his sacrifice, he has set me free to live the way he's called and created me to live. Yes, there's a way that these things can sometimes get in, but I'm free indeed, so I don't need to be looking at them. I don't need to be looking back. I don't need to be focused on, is this going to happen? I can move forward and say, I am free indeed. And I'm free indeed because, yes, Jesus has set me free, but I am also putting things in place to ensure that I don't slip into that. I'm free indeed. I've won the battle. But I'm going to continue to battle on and continue to live in a place of maintaining that freedom by the power and spirit of God. Amen. 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 Let's stand. Can I have the worship team?